Morning. Today's daf is Chav Ches in Shavuos. We are on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We started the Mishnah on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We went through the first sugya. We are towards the We're towards the bottom of the Amud, about a third of the way down. I'm a third of the way from the bottom. Amar Rava. Oh, it's, I'm sorry, it's further down. Right, okay. It's about six lines from the bottom of the Amud. Sorry. Okay. The Mishnah yesterday talked about the person making a double shvuah. He says, shvuah shlo achal, kikar zeh shvuah shlo achlana, shvuah shlo achlana. V'achlein uchay v'alacha. So the point the Mishnah wanted to make yesterday is ein shvuah chal shvuah, ein isser chal isser. That when you make a shvuah, so the item now becomes usher to you, and for you to just simply repeat the shvuah, so that is now trying to make an isser on something which is already usher. And we know the general rule is ein isser chal isser. You can have one isser superimposing on top of another isser. The Mishnah did. The Gemara pointed out yesterday that the order is important over here, because when the Mishnah says lo achel and lo achlena, so they have two different connotations. The word ochel just simply means I'm not going to eat, and the understanding is that it means a kezias. So in other words, if there's a whole loaf of bread in front of you and you say you're not going to eat it, and you use the word ochel, it refers to a kezias. So that means that how much of it is usher to you, every kezias is going to be usher to you. As opposed to if you say the words lo ochlena, it's a reference to the entire loaf of bread. So in other words, you're only going to violate your shvuah when you eat the entire loaf of bread. Anything short of that, you're not going to be in violation. So if you say lo ochel and lo ochlena, so the second shvuah doesn't add anything to the first shvuah. Shvuah already asers a kezias. Second shvuah doesn't add anything. However, as we pointed out in yesterday's daf, if I say lo ochlena, followed then by lo ochlena is going on the whole loaf of bread. So that means I don't violate my shvuah until I eat the whole loaf of bread. When I follow up with lo ochel now is coming to add, it's being mosif. Because now even less than the loaf of bread is going to be also. So as we pointed out yesterday, the order of how you say it is very important. Continuing now in the Gemara, we're towards the bottom of the Amud, Chav Zayin Amud Beis, Amar Rava Nishba Al Kikar, V'Achla. Let's say you make a shvuah that you're not getting a loaf of bread and you eat it, and you eat, let's say, almost all of it. Okay, so obviously that's not good. Imshir Mimenu Kezayis Nishala, Achla Kula Ein Nishala. So can you make a she'ela? So as the old expression goes, you can't cry over spilled milk, and as a corollary to that, so once you violate a shvuah, you can't go back and say, hey, I'd like to have if you understand the golf references, a mulligan. But if you don't get the golf reference, that's fine. So in other words, I like a redo. I want to go back and make a shale on my shvuah. So just for a moment, let's just go over the basics. If you make a neder or a shvuah for that matter, so you have an option, you have a possibility of getting out of it, releasing it through what's called shelas chacham. Shelas chacham. I go over to a Talmid Chacham, someone who's knowledgeable in the areas of Nedarim and Shavuos, and say to him, look, I know I made a Shavuah, I know I made a Neder, but at the time when I made the Neder and the Shavuah, the following circumstances were such, I wasn't aware of it at the time. Had I known about it at the time, I wouldn't have made a Neder or Shavuah. And the Shelas Chacham said, if the Chacham feels that the Pesach is a legitimate Pesach, the opening is a good opening, so then it could be matir the neder limafreya, going back to the time when you actually made the neder. Fine. So this is what's called shelas chacham. It works by neder, works by shvuah, works by nazirus, works by carbon. Any time a person makes has an effect with a declaration, so it can be undone if gone through this avenue. Here we're discussing the following: you made a shvuah that you're not getting a loaf of bread. You ate the loaf of bread. You go over to the chacham and say, look, I made the shvuah, not to eat the loaf of bread, I ate it, but I'd like to get out of the shvuah, I'd like to be released from my shvuah. So if it's after you ate the loaf of bread, we can all agree that's too late. Too late, you violated the shvuah.
We had a case of Nazirus where he completed the Nazirus.
Good, perfect. You're right on task. Okay, good. Hold that question. Gamar's going to ask you a question. Okay, good. No, it's fine, it's good. So the starting point of this discussion is that once you violate your shvuah, now it's too late. You violate your shvuah. Now, can the shvuah be undone? Well, doesn't matter. Meaning the shvuah has been violated, and so there's no longer any chance, any opportunity to go to a chacham and to release you from the shvuah. Here now, what we're discussing is the following: you said you're not going to eat the loaf of bread. You ate the loaf, but not all of it. You ate most of it. And now that you ate most of it, you're like, oh, yeah, the Shvua, I wasn't supposed to eat it. Oh, but I didn't finish it. So Rava makes a statement, and now with all that in mind, let's go back, let's read it again. We'll really appreciate it. Amar Rava Nishbal Kikar V'Achleim Shirim Mimenu Kezayis Nishallah Achla Kula Inishallah. So Rava makes a statement which is really going to be difficult to understand, but we're going to try. And that is that if I ate all of the loaf except for Kezayis, so then it's not too late. I'll go to a Chacham, I'll ask a Shela, I'll get myself out of the Shvua. If, however, I ate the entire loaf, now it's too late. And the Gemara says, Amalei Ravach Breid Rava LeRavashi Hechidami. So the Gemara says, this is really hard to comprehend. And what's hard to comprehend over here is where we're drawing the line in the sand. Meaning, if he ate the loaf up to a kezayis, there's still a kezayis left of the loaf, not too late. But once he eats the whole loaf, now it's too late. Okay, so where we're drawing the line in the sand is really strange, and this is what the Gemara now is going to try to understand. Ida Mishlo Ochel. So let's say the Shvua was the expressed in the words Lo Ochel. So as we already know, Mikizais Kama Avra Li Surah. So you know that you ate one kezayis of that loaf of bread, you already violated your iser. So what difference does it make now that you ate two kezayis and three kezayis? Everything up to the last kezayis. Last kezayis, you already violated the Shvua time and again. And you only may be liable one time because it was all Behelam Echad, but still. You certainly violated your Shvua. And Idam Rishlo Echlena. Now if the way that the Shvua was expressed with the words Lo Echlena, so my ear kezayis, so the Gemara says, so then the line that we're drawing in the sand seems to be incorrect, because I feel a koshu nami. Because if I ate the entire loaf of bread with exception to one crumb, I didn't yet violate my Shvua. So it's not too late. So I should be able to go to a Chacham and be released, assuming there's a Pesach, and be released from the Shvua. So, but the Shvua, in general, I hear you. But in general, that's true. But the Shvua was specifically Lo Ochlena. So you don't violate your Shvua until you eat all of it. So afilu koshu unami. So ibai semashlo ochel, ibai semashlo ochlana. So the Gemara says, okay. So we can say pshat in Rava with either expression, and the Gemara goes on to explain. Ibai semashlo ochel. So the Gemara says, let's say the Shvua was lo ochel. The Gemara says, that's fine. Migida mahan yile sheela kezayis basra mahan yile sheela nami kezayis kama. Gemara over here introduces us to seemingly a big chiddush, and that's the following. Look. Did he violate the Shvua with the first kezayis? Sure. Second kezayis? Also. But if there's a kezayis remaining at the end of the loaf of bread, so now there is still an opportunity to violate more of the Shvua. So now here is what the Gemara is suggesting or explaining in terms of Rava. Because now he can ask and release himself from the Shvua from that last kezayis, so it will also be able to help him get out of all the previous kezayisim as well. Now, the Gemara over here uses the term migu. Migu over here, not in the classic sense of ne'manus. You know, since you could have said this, therefore your belief to say that. Obviously, we're not talking about ne'manus over here. But migu means that since there is some effectiveness to the she'ela on the last kezayis, therefore there'll be effectiveness on the she'ela for all the first kezayisim of the bread that he already ate. Admittedly, seemingly, it's a big chiddush, meaning he ate it already. He ate it b'mezid, or b'shogig, I should say. How exactly does this work? Again, all I can tell you is that the Gemara employs the idea of migu.
But what's the kezayis more than a kol
sheh? Huh?
What's the kezayis more than a kol sheh?
No, because if there's no kezayis left, so then there's nothing. No. Then there's the
kol sheh is mutter to eat.
The kol sheh was let's not use the word mutter, but in other words, it's not a violation of the shvua. Shvua was lo ochel. Right, but the discussion, yeah, I know. But I get the impression the discussion here is regarding the carbon, but in Achinami, it could be that it's also talking about Malkus as well. Could be. The Gemara says, or we could say like this. Maybe it's also going on Lo Achlana. So the expression is Lo Achlana, and Ishai Kezayis Chashav Lishto Le'elai, V'ilo, Lo Chashav Lishu Alea. Now, Phil, you were giving a svara similar to this earlier. I cut you off, but not because you were wrong. The Gemara says, look, if there's a kezayis left at the end, so that's a chashav. That's a chashav amount. So in other words, yes, it's true. The way that the neder was expressed, or in this case, shvua, the way the shvua was expressed, lo achlana, I'm not going to eat it. And in order to violate the shvua, you have to eat all of it. But if there's just but a crumb left, it's not chashav enough that you can ask a she'ela on it. It's true you didn't violate your shvua as of yet, But to ask a shayla, there has to be a significant amount left over in order for you to ask a shayla. Anything less than a kazais is just simply not a significant amount. Okay, so what's the starting point of this entire discussion, as we point out in the beginning, is that once you violate the shur, then it's just simply too late. It's simply too late. You can't go back and say to the chacham, look, I made a shvua, I violated the shvua, but I want a sheila. You can't, at that point in time, you can't get a redo. Meitzvah, the Gemara challenges based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah we saw just recently. Me should not understand the zero. So man rishona ve'efer shalai karban v'achakach nishal rishona al rishona. Again, just setting up ourselves with this case, like we did just yesterday. A person made two nazirs, compound nazirs. Now you can't serve them simultaneously. They must be served one after another. So that means, let's just assume that stam nazirs, each one of them is 30 days. So he has to now go sequentially, first through the first nazirs, then through the second nazirs. And when I say go through the first Nazirus, means not only count the 30 days, but then bring the Karbanos at the end of those 30 days. Then and only then, now can you serve the second Nazirus, counting the 30 days and bring Karbanos at the end of the second set of 30 days. Good. What happens now is that after serving his first Nazirus, not only serving the first Nazirus, meaning counting the 30 days, but setting aside already the Karbanos for the first Nazirus, he then heads over to a Chacham and he says to the Chacham, look, I know I made a double Nazirus, but that first Nazirus that I made, I want release from that first Nazirus, and explains why, and the Chacham finds it justified to release him from the first Nazirus. Good. Now, can we do the following? Can we say now, time served? Meaning he does have a second Nazirus, and it is upcoming, but now he did count the 30 days. He no longer had a first Nazirus because he was released from the first Nazirus. So can we say that those 30 days now are in fact time served for the second Nazirus? And the Braisa says yes. Now the Gemara says, what's the Gemara's problem? Isn't it too late? It's too late. Meaning he already served the first Nazirus. How can we now look at them and say time served? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay, he set aside the Karbanos, but he didn't bring the Karbanos. By not bringing the Karbanos, he hasn't concluded his first Nazirus, and therefore it's not too late. So the Gemara says, Va'atanya Kiper. So the Gemara says, okay, but I have a Braisa describing this scenario, and the Braisa says clearly that he was Mechaper. So that means he brought the Karbanos. And so therefore, again, let's set the question up again. It's too late. How can we now say that the first days are time served for the second Nazirus if he not only counted, set aside the Karbanos, but even brought the Karbanos? Now it's too late. Answers the Gemara. No. In other words, he was only released after he brought the Karbanos. So the Gemara says, B'shelo gilach. So the Gemara says, okay, but he didn't shave. And V'Rabbi Lazar here, D'amar, his kalach is ma'akva. Now there's a shita in the Gemara Nazir, which the Gemara here is obviously making reference to. And that is, according to Rabbi Lazar, if I don't shave, that is ma'akev, meaning that holds back the conclusion of his Nazirus. And so once again, the Gemara is trying to argue that he just simply hasn't concluded his first Nazirus. V'atanya gilach. And again, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa describing this scenario says that not only did he bring his Karbanos, but he also shaved his body. And as a result of that, he has now formally concluded his first Nazirus. And yet, the Braisa says that if he's released from the first Nazirus, he can then take the second Nazirus and say time served from the first Nazirus. So again, the question becomes, how could it be that we can go to a Chacham, ask to be released from his Nazirus, and then use those days for his second Nazirus if it's too late? Like the case of the Shua. Amar Rav Ashi Nazirus Karamis Mi Garam Lishnei Shlo Tachol Rishona Ve'ena. So the Gemara says like this. Gemara says, look, you're asking a kasha from Nazirus onto our discussion of Shavuos. The Gemara says, it's not a good kasha. In other words, the whole starting point of the kasha really isn't the case. Because, let's consider. The person has a double Nazirus. Now, he has this from the very beginning, meaning he accepts upon himself the double Nazirus. And again, what's the problem is that you cannot serve them concurrently. They have to be done sequentially, one after the other. Fine. But in other words, for every day that he counts towards one, in theory, he would like to count it towards two, and in other words, every day, on the 12th day of his Nazirus, I'd like this 12th day to be working for the first set of Nazirus and for the second. The only problem, of course, is that there's this rule, they can't be served concurrently. But in other words, I'm not saying he's doing so consciously, even if he's not doing so consciously, each day could at least in theory be applied towards Nazirus 1, Nazirus 2. And over here by Nazirus, if the Nazirus one is removed, even after the fact, he could take all those days and apply them to Nazirus number two. Because as they were counting, they at least in theory could have been applied to Nazirus number two. It's just that Nazirus number one was holding it back. So the Gemara says, so here it's not a fair question. It's not too late only because while serving the Nazirus, he at least they could have been applied to Nazirus number two. So the Gemara says, and unlike Shavua, where if a person made a Shavua, violated the Shavua at that point in time, it's simply too late. The deed is done. The Shavua has been violated. You can't go back and get released from the Shavua. Amemar Mar Filo Achla Kula Nisha Aleha. Amemar disagrees with the premise of the beginning of the whole discussion. Again, the whole premise started with, once you make a Shavua and violate it, you can't get released from it because, simply put, it's too late. It's too late. Amemar says, no, not necessarily. Meaning, Amemar basically will say that there does come a point of no return, but it's not after you violate the Shavua. According to Amemar, afilo achakula, even if I eat the whole loaf of bread, nisha'allah, you can ask a shayla on it. E b'shogeg mechusa karban, why is it not too late? Because the story's not yet over. When does the story come to a conclusion? Well, look, if we're talking about where you violated Shavua b'shogeg, so the story's certainly not over yet because he has an opportunity to bring a karban. And I say opportunity, also a responsibility, an obligation to bring a karban. So in other words, the Shavua has not yet come to conclusion because he hasn't brought a karban as of yet.
So he's still on the hook for a karban.
Agreed. According to Amemar, however, the karban is the conclusion of the story. So in other words, we're still mid-story. And if we're still mid-story, so there's an opportunity now to ask a shayla. And he b'mezid mechusa malchus. If, however, it was done b'mezid, still the story is not over yet because a person made a shavua, violated the shavua, done so intentionally, so he's subject to malchus. So the malchus is really where the story comes to an end. Post malchus, now it's too late. Ava kafshua la amud lo. Now the Gemara says now, if they time up to the post, at that point in time, now it's too late to ask a shayla. Kedushmol damer shmol kaftul al amud v'ratz mebeisim pater. Now Shmuel says, remember we saw this back at the end of Malchus, not so long ago. You tie him up to the post, and somehow the person tying him up didn't do the greatest job. Gets out, runs away. He doesn't have to get Malchus anymore. Now, what the Gemara is thinking right now is that it was the tying to the post that really was the substitution for the Malchus. Now, if you remember the Gemara Malchus is saying that is going to say the same thing that we're about to say right now, Velohi. That's not accurate. Hasam ratz hachalo ratz. Over there, what substituted for the Malchus is the fact that he ran away. Meaning, what exactly is it that gets him back on the reservation? Meaning, he did an Isser, he did an Aver, he did a Lav Sheish B'maisa, he's now subject to Malchus, and so now he needs an onish, he needs a punishment, and what's the point of the onish? So the Torah says, V'nikla achicha, meaning that once he gets Malchus, so then he's going to be debased, and as a result of that, he becomes now your brother once again. So you need a debasing. Now the debasing is, generally speaking, the Malchus. However, what we're learning now together, as we learned back in Malchus in the third parak, is that if you tie him to the post and he's able to somehow run away, meaning obviously you should try to avoid this, but if somehow he's running away, that is debasing. And because that's debasing, so now he's experienced v'nikla, and at that point in time now he becomes achicha. So in other words, what Amemar was confused with is that he thought that tying him to the post is enough to substitute for the Malchus, but that's not true. In other words, only if he's tied to the post somehow gets free and somehow runs away. Then and only then does it substitute for Malchus. So even tying to the post now does not conclude the story, and as a result of that, at least according to Amemar, now you could, he still has an opportunity to ask a she'ela from his Shavua. Okay, so where are we so far? So we've gone through the first part of today's daf, a discussion of when is it too late to ask a she'ela on your Shavua. So the simple pshat is that it's too late once you violate the Shavua. That's where we started the discussion. That was Rava's comment. The Gemara asked the question from Nazir, because by Nazir, even though you finished your first Nazirus and you brought the Karbanas and you had to Glachas, it's not too late. You can release yourself from the first Shavua and have the second Shavua be applied during those days that you already served. So the Gemara says that seems to be going against the Shita of Rav. The Gemara says it's not. Because over there, while you were serving the first days, at least the first days in theory could also have been applied to the second days as well. It's just that the first days held them back. Once you release, once you remove the first days, second days can just simply fit in over there. So the Gemara says, so the case of the Nazir is not a good kasha. Amemar says that if a person ate the bread b'shogeg and he's chayv a karban, he can release himself up to the point of karban. After karban, then you can't go back. And if he does so b'mezid, so a person can ask a shela up to the point of malchus. After malchus, then and only then can you not go back and release yourself from the shua. Adkan, that's the first half of today's daf. Second half of the day's today's daf, we stay with Rava. Amar Rava, shvur shlo ochel kikar zeh im ochel zeh. Okay, this sugya could be really difficult. Could be. The good news is for today is that I'm just staying with Rashi. And so as I stay with Rashi, so it's going to be pretty straightforward and pretty clear. There are questions of what the correct girsa is of these cases. But again, as long as we're staying consistent with Rashi, it's not going to be as complicated as it could be. That's the good news. Let me first, before I explain it, let's just preface, I know I read it, but let's just preface it with a couple of words. Okay, when you make a shvuah, so you're making a declaration that something is either you're going to commit yourself to doing something or not to do something, la'ara or leitiv, as we have discussed already extensively throughout this masechta. What you could also do is that what you can make a shvuah contingent on an action. And over here, if I may, I'm just going to give a little bit of a narrative over here to the story. You'll appreciate it. I think we can all relate. Okay, there are two cookies in front of you. I know the Gemara here refers to loaves of bread. The loaves of bread are just not as appealing to me. So there are two cookies in front of you, and you're trying to control yourself. You're trying not to overeat. And so what you do is you simply say, look, if I eat that first cookie, that second cookie now is going to be usher to me through a shavua. In other words, so basically you're allowing yourself one cookie, but no more than one cookie. So what you do is you effectively make a shavua on condition. And the condition is, if I eat the first cookie, okay? And I think we can all relate. In other words, the person's trying to control himself. And so now, with the eating of the first cookie, so now he is locked and loaded in that now there's a shvuah binding on the second cookie. Okay, but here's the rule that we all need to understand and appreciate in order to really get these gemaras down. And that is that when was the shvuah chal? When does the shvuah become effective? So there really are two parts to the shvuah. One is the actual declaration. Obviously, when the person's making the declaration, he's conscious of what he's doing. Meaning, generally speaking, before we talk, we think. I know that's not always true, but for our purposes, let's assume that that's true. So certainly, when making the declaration, the shvua is in effect. But he made this contingent on a condition. And the condition was eating that first cookie. So now, while eating the first cookie, he also has to be aware of the shvua. It is not sufficient just simply to eat the cookie. In other words, let's say while eating the cookie, he totally escaped him that he made that this was going to be a trigger of the shvuah. That's insufficient. Meaning that when eating the first cookie, he has to be aware that the eating of this cookie is in fact the trigger, the tanai, that now puts the shvuah in motion. Otherwise, the shvuah is not set in motion. Okay, the Rashi quotes the drasha for this. Okay, that is the basic rule that we have to understand and appreciate to really understand and appreciate these Gemaras. With that stated, let's see the cases of the Gemara. Amar Rava. So I'm starting again, it's four lines from the bottom of the Amar. Shvur shalo ochel kikar zeh, im ochel zeh. So I'm now going to bind myself with a shvur of not eating the second loaf of bread if, in fact, I eat the first loaf of bread. Va'achel eser rishon b'shogeg. Now, Rashi says consistently throughout this whole sugya, the first one is going to be the tanai loaf. Okay? And he eats the first one, bishogig. Shogig over here means that at the time when he ate the first loaf, he didn't remember that this loaf is in fact triggering the shvuah. Ve'ashniyah b'mezid. And he eats the second loaf, and let's say he eats the second loaf, remembering the shvuah that he made. Pater. He's going to be exempt. Why? Why is he going to be exempt? Because as I stated in the intro, the shvuah is only going to be chal, where when he ate the first loaf of bread, he remembers at that time that the eating of this loaf of bread is in fact what's triggering off the shvuah. If he does not have that clear memory at the time of the eating of the first loaf of bread, the shvuah has not been put into effect. And therefore, even when he eats the second loaf of bread, and even when eating the second loaf of bread, he hearkens back to his shvuah that he made, still, the shvuah has not been taken effect. Rishona b'meizah v'shnia b'shogeg, chayav. Now, let's say when he ate the first loaf of bread, again, the first loaf of bread is the Tanai bread. And he was b'meizah, meizah meaning that he now knows that by eating this loaf of bread, I now put the I put the shvuah into action. The shvuah now is effective. The shvuah is now locked and loaded. Vishniya b'shogeg, and now he eats the second loaf of bread, and he does so in the state of shogeg, meaning not remembering his shvuah. So then chayv, so then he's going to be chayv. Chayv, of course, over here means carbon ola v'yare, meaning now he violated his shvuah b'shogeg. Shtein b'shogeg, if he ate both loaves of bread b'shogeg, both the tanai loaf and the shvuah loaf, so then obviously patur, then he's going to be exempt. The shvuah was never put into effect. Now, shtein b'mezid, so let's say he ate the two loaves of bread b'mezid. So achle l'tanai v'achle achle l'isurei. So let's say first he eats the tanai loaf, and then he eats the isur loaf. So mechayev. So under those circumstances, he's going to be chayev. Chayev over here means, of course, malchus, meaning he knows that the shvur now is set into motion, and on top of that, he now deliberately, intentionally eats the second loaf of bread, knowing that he's bound by a shvur not to eat the second loaf of bread. So then he's chayev malchus, assuming, of course, that there are edim and asra. Now, in the case where it's a double mezid, mezid on the loaf of bread, mezid on the tanai loaf. And here he clearly identified which one's the tanai loaf and which one's the mezid loaf. So this is where my example in the very beginning wasn't so good, because I talked about the guy just not wanting to eat two cookies. Here, he actually identifies. This loaf is going to be the tanai loaf, this loaf is going to be the mezid loaf. And he eats first the mezid loaf, let's not call it the mezid loaf. Let's call it the shvuah loaf. He first eats the shvuah loaf, and then he eats the tanai loaf. What would be the circumstance then? Well, by eating the tanai loaf second, and he did so b'mezid, so he certainly set the shvuah in motion, and he did violate the shvuah, albeit retroactively. So, is he going to be subject to malchus? So, plukta de Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Laman damar asra safik shema asra chayiv. Laman damar lashme asra pater. Gemara says, it's going back to a machlokas that we've seen already a number of times, both in this Masechta and also back in Makos as well. And that is the machlokas in Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, if I'm giving a warning, but I don't know right now if there is even an isser as I'm giving the warning. This is what's called in halacha asra safik. Does that serve as a valid hasra machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish? And so the Gemara says over here, obviously this would be contingent. Because remember, now there are two loaves, the condition loaf and the shvuah loaf. And he first starts off eating the shvuah loaf. Is the shvuah set in motion? Not yet. It will only be set in motion when he eats the conditional loaf later on. But we don't know if he ate it. Meaning right now, obviously when working with time, we only have one direction to go, and that's of course forward. So we don't know yet if he's eating that second loaf of bread. So when he's eating the first loaf of bread, which is the shvuah loaf, and we say to him, hey, don't do that, you may be bound by a shvuah if you eat the other loaf. That's called asra safik. If you consider that to be asra, so then that is considered now a something eligible for malchus. If it's not asra, it's not eligible for malchus.
But right now, he's not liable for
anything. Right. Right. What's the question? And then when he eats the tanai loaf later on, and he does so b'mezid, that now effectively triggered the shvuah back to the time of declaration. Then going forward from the point of declaration, he did eat the loaf. Right.
He needs a warning.
Right. Now, that's what the Gemara is discussing. He did get a warning, but the warning is only coming misafik. So we don't know.
But if he doesn't get a warning,
If he doesn't get a warning, so then there's no punishment. Not for mezid. For shogeg, there would be, but not for mezid. Okay. Talan, so Lashmei Asra Pat, Lashmei Asra Pater. Talan Zubazu. And as we finish off the sugya, so now we get to the trickiest case over here, and that's as follows. And this is pretty much what I described in the beginning, in the scenario I described, where basically he does not want to eat a second loaf of bread. He knows he needs to control himself. So here's what he does. He basically now makes the two loaves of bread conditional to one another. Meaning, so we have two loaves in front of him, and he says, if I eat this loaf, it doesn't matter which one I'm pointing to, so I'll just simply call them A and B, but it doesn't really matter. If I eat the A loaf, so that will now trigger a shvua, so that I am now bound by shvua not to eat the B loaf. And he says that also, if I eat the B loaf, that will trigger a shvua, so that now I am bound by shvua not to eat the A loaf. So he made a shvua talon zeh bazeh. He made each one contingent on the other. So now,
you can make
a shvua contingent on a condition. You can do that. You could do it by neder. You could do it by shvua. In this regard, they share that similarity. So the Gemara says talon zeh bazeh, lo ochel zeh imochel zeh, lo ochel zeh imochel zeh. V'achol zubezadon atzma uveshigas chaverta. V'zubezadon atzma uveshigas chaverta. And now, as he's eating each loaf, so remember now, each loaf really represents two things. One, a possible violation of a shvua, if the shvua is triggered. Two, a trigger for the other loaf of bread. And so now, as he's eating each loaf, he recognizes and remembers that each loaf could be a violation of a shvua, but he forgets that it serves also as a trigger for the other loaf of bread. And while eating both loaves of bread, he forgot about the trigger aspect. So now, did he violate the shvua? Pater. No, he didn't violate the shvua. Because again, in order for shvua to be affected in a case of condition, you have to remember while doing the condition that you are now triggering off the shvua. If you don't remember it while doing the conditional act, the shvua is never sent to motion. Now, while eating both loaves, right, same scenario, but now a different set, a different mindset. If while eating both loaves of bread, he says to himself, or he remembers, that this is the trigger. Right? In other words, he doesn't remember that this loaf is the actual, is actually asotim through shvua, but he does remember while eating each loaf that it triggers off the other. So, chayev. Under those circumstances, he would be chayev, meaning he'd be chayev a karban, because he has, in fact, for the second loaf of bread, because he has, in fact, now, when eating the first loaf of bread, remembered that does, in fact, trigger off the second loaf of bread. So now the shvua for the second loaf of bread is now chal, and now when eating the second loaf of bread, even though he's eating a b'shogeg, but now he violated his shvua b'shogeg, therefore he has to bring a karban. Shayim b'shogeg, if while eating each loaf of bread, he forgot about both aspects, about the fact that the loaf of bread could itself represent a violation of a shvua, and on top of that, he also forgets that it serves as a trigger for the other loaf of bread, so obviously in that circumstance, pater, he would be exempt. Shayim b'mezid, if let's say, while eating both loaves of bread, he remembers, and afal pi kein, he's going to eat both loaves of bread, meaning he remembers both aspects. One, that this loaf of bread may in fact be a violation of a shvua, and B, he also remembers that it triggers the other loaf of bread. So when he eats the first loaf of bread, so he didn't trigger this loaf of bread because he hasn't yet eaten the other loaf of bread. So for this loaf of bread, he has not violated his shvua, but he also, with this loaf of bread, does in fact trigger the other loaf of bread. And when he eats the second loaf of bread, he is now eating it remembering that I did in fact trigger this loaf of bread. So while eating the first loaf of bread, it triggered the shvua into motion for the second loaf of bread. And he's eating a b'mezid. So therefore, he's going to be chayev ashniya mechayev arishona. Now, for the second loaf of bread, he's for sure going to be chayev. And for the first loaf of bread, he's going to be chayev. Once again, plot the Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So that's going to be subject to the machlokes between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Again, whether or not the hasra safek could in fact result in a hasra. Amar of Mari af anami tanina. Now, after having gone through all this, so now the Gemara says, these are obviously complicated scenarios, complex situations, but again, once you know the basic rules, so then everything follows logically. The Gemara says, if you know a Mishnah Nedarim, actually all this can be encrypted and found in the Mishnah Nedarim. Right? In the parentheses we have Arba Nedarim, Itir Chachamim, Nidre Zvizim, Nidre Avai, Nidre Shkagos, Nidre Onsen. So the Mishnah in Nedarim talks about four different types of Nedarim where the person's not going to be liable if he violates any one of these four Nedarim. But we're focusing on one of the four, and right after the parentheses, Nidre Shkagos. So Nidre Shkagos, what's an example? Ketzad? Konim im achalti v'im shasisi. So he says, he tries to now set a neder into motion. The word konim means carbon. It's a nickname for a carbon, meaning that this food will be like to me like a carbon if. So in other words, so good. So he puts in a conditional clause in the shvua, and now he's connecting it to something that he's done already. So, im achalti, im shasisi, v'nizgar she'achal v'shasa. So in the first case over here, he now connects it to something that he, that was historical, something that happened before the declaration. He thinks at the time, oh, I didn't eat that or I didn't drink that. And meanwhile, it turns out that he did eat it and he did drink it. But again, all this was happening prior to him making the declaration. Or a second case in the Mishnah Nedarim, she'eni ochel she'eni shosa, shachach v'achal v'shasa. He does make it contingent on something that he will do, notably either eating something or drinking something. And then he ate it or drinking, but at the time of eating or drinking, he forgot that this serves as a trigger. Basically, exactly what we've been discussing for the last 15 minutes. Mutter. Under these circumstances, it would be mutter. Now, in the first case, in the Mishnah Nedarim, that's not really relevant to our discussion because it's talking about where he makes a conditional contingent on something that happened before the declaration. Okay, that's not really our discussion. Our discussion is where you make it conditional on something that is going to happen, notably I'm going to either eat or drink something, but at the time of eating or drinking, you just simply were unaware. You didn't realize at the time, that this is serving as a trigger for my shvua. So the Mishnah Nedarim says that the neder has not been activated. Now, over there, obviously in Nedarim, we're talking about neder. Over here in Shavuos, we're obviously talking about Shavuah. Now, one more point to get us through this, and that is the Braisa. V'tani Allah on the Braisa, k'shem sh'nidre shagos mutarim, kach Shavuos shagos mutaras. Just like by neder it's mutar, so too by Shavuos mutar. Meaning that this yesod, that in if I'm making a Shavuah or a neder based on a contingency, I have to, at the time of the contingency, be cognizant of the fact that this is triggering off either my neder or my shvur. So then and only then is the neder and shvur set into motion. But if at the time of the contingency I am unaware, so then it's not set into motion. Okay? So, good. So basically, a lot of halachas by Rava regarding having an awareness not only at the time of the declaration, but also at the time of contingency as well. And basically, the Gemara says it's a Mishnah Nedarim. Okay, good. Let's do a little bit more for today and then we'll leave off a little bit for tomorrow. A little bit. Eifa Tinishvuos Bei Rava. Eifa was learning Masechta Shvuos in the yeshiva of Rava, and Paga Bei Avimi, Achua, and his brother Avimi runs into Eifa Amrale, and basically they go through a fair. Okay, let's write a short quiz on Masechta Shvuos. You think you go through Masechta, you think you know the Masechta. And then somebody comes over to you and asks you a couple of simple questions. You get the questions wrong. Okay, I know. I don't need creativity over here. I know it's discouraging, right? You think you know something and then, you know, a simple question and you can't get it right and it's discouraging. So the only comfort I could tell you is, happens to the Amoraim. Okay. Not to compare. They're on a, you know, they're working on a different, you know, it's a different league, but still. At least I can relate into the idea of you think you know something and meanwhile you don't know it. So Eifa just got done learning Masechta Shavuos. He learned in the Yeshiva Rabba. Now his brother comes over to him and he asks him a couple questions. Amalei Shavuos lo achalti, Shavuos lo achalti. A simple question. I would have for sure gotten this one wrong. For sure. So a simple question. The question is, let's say a person makes a compound Shavuah, but not in the future, but rather in the past. I didn't eat that loaf of bread, and again, it's not just a declaration, but also with a shvuah, right? Shvuah. Shlo achalti, shvuah, shlo achalti. So, how many shvuahs did he violate? It's a shvuah's bitui. Oh, you mean the second one?
Yeah.
Okay. So, amar lei, enu chayv alachas. So he says, well, he's only going to be chayv one. Now, it could be, you're right, by the way, the second one may be a shvuah shav. I touched on that point the other day also. That the but over here we're just talking about carbon olav yared. We're talking about the shvuos bitui. So Eifa's answer is, well, he's only chayv one. Meaning, how is it any different than our Mishnah? Meaning in yesterday's daf we learned on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, the Mishnah that says that if a person says Shvur Shalo Ochel, follow them by Shvur Shalo Ochel, the second one's repetitive. And you don't, by Shvur's Bitui, you only have the first Shvur being Chal, the second Shvur is not being Chal. Ein Shvur Chal Ashvur. Fine. So, same thing over here, right? No, not right. Amar Le Ishtabesht. He says, you made a mistake, brother. Hare Yatza Shvur L'Shaker. Meaning, what you did is you confused a shvur la'asid versus a shvur la'sha'avar. Meaning, let's consider. A shvur la'asid is, I buy a shvur, make this loaf of bread prohibited to me. Okay. And now I do it again. Well, you can't do it again. Meaning, it's already prohibited to you. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to superimpose a second shvur on top of another shvur? You can't do that. It doesn't work. Doesn't take effect. Ain shvur chal shvur. But that's only la'asid. Let's consider now this case that we're discussing, which is l'sha'avar. Now l'sha'avar, so what? How the first shvur go? I didn't eat the loaf of bread. Now he's making a statement about something that happened in the past. I didn't eat the loaf of bread, he did. So he's making a shvur, shvur's bitui, shvur sheker. Now, story's over. Meaning, the shvur's been made, it's been uttered, it's been pronounced, it's wrong. Now again, remember, we had a hard time understanding what would be a case of shogeg, right? That was a discussion in the Gemara we had a couple days ago. It is tricky to find a shogeg case for the past. But for our purposes right now, let's assume that's done with shogeg. But still, meaning it's now over, the declaration's been made, and now it's chayev. When he makes a second declaration, it's a totally new declaration. Obviously, it's on the same point, but it doesn't matter. It's not a problem of shvur chal al shvur. Meaning, the first shvur has been said, the first shvur has been uttered. He's now liable for it. Story over. Now, when he makes a second shvur of shvur shlo chalti, he's going to be liable for that second shvur as well. So basically, you know the Mishnayos and Shvuos, and you know them well. But what you fail to realize is that there's a difference between making a shvur for the future as opposed to making a shvur for the past.
Isn't there a time that has to pass between one and two? No.
In other words, because once he's uttered the first shvur, that's it. In other words, he made a shvur sheker. It's over. Okay. Let's quickly recap today's daf. We'll finish the. There are two more questions that Afa's going to ask his brother. We'll save those for tomorrow. Two more. Let's recap. The first half of today's daf is whether or not you can release yourself from a shvur after you violated the shvur. So the basic answer to that question is no. Once you violate the shvur, it's too late. But when exactly is the point of too late? So Rava says the point of too late is when you finish that loaf of bread. Prior to you finishing that loaf of bread, it's not too late. It's not too late. But even in that, Rava talked about there has to be kezayis left over at the end. And then the Gemara discussed why exactly there has to be kezayis left over at the end. Why can't there just simply be a crumb left over at the end? So, and we discussed that. The Gemara then asked the question from Nazir, because by Nazir, even after the first Nazirus was over, he can release himself from the first Nazirus and then take the second Nazirus and put into the first Nazirus. Seemingly that's difficult. The Gemara says it's not difficult. The Gemara answers up. Amemar says it's not too late if we're talking b'shogeg, up until the point you bring a carbon. If we're talking about mazid, up until the point you get malchus. And then they a detailed discussion in terms of what if he was tied to the post but didn't actually receive malchus as of yet. Okay. And then the second half of today's daf, we talked about Rava and the intricacies of making a shvua built on a condition. If you make a shvua built on the condition, the yesod is very simple. It's just a question of all the examples. But to say just the fundamental rule, and that is that at the time when you are triggering off the shvua, you have to be cognizant and aware that this is in fact triggering off the shvur. If at the time when you are setting the trigger off, you don't realize that this is setting off the trigger, so then the shvur is not going to be chal. That's the yesod. And then after that, it's just a question of seeing it all this play out in practice, where you eat the first one b'shogeg, second one b'mezid, first one b'mezid, second one b'shogeg, etc., etc. And then finally, all this was borne out based on a Mishnah Nedarim, together coupled with a Brisa that says that this is true by Nedarim, it's also true by Shavuos as well. And finally, the Feher that Afer received from his brother regarding Shavuos, and he's going to get all of them wrong, at least according to Avime, every answer to every question was wrong. The first one we saw this morning, a person makes a shvur shelo achalti two times over. So how many liabilities does he have? The answer is two. Unlike our Mishnah, which says one, but that's only on the future. On the past, every shvur is now a shvur sheker in of itself, and so therefore he'd be chayv two.